On the block, on demand.
Without Jerry McIntyre, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the Kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And the celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know, there's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio Utica Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are doing, on the ESPN app, seen, heard, and so much more, at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Hello, Twitch friends. You can watch the show, you can chat during the show, you get the show within the show, and so much more at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. You get the visual experience of the program. We mentioned the live chat throughout. You can opine as much as you'd like. And during commercial breaks, exclusive content for you. The mics stay on, and we just kind of either keep discussing what has been discussed on the air, different subjects that come up. I like to throw different life scenarios at our friends on Twitch, different things, TV shows we're watching, whatever the case may be, whatever the day brings, right? So come on by. Get the Twitch experience in your life at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. 437-7644 is the phone number. Brent Dax Media on Twitter. Or the Twitch chat, as mentioned, at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. All great ways to get involved with the show. It is no longer a game day, friends. Once again, a COVID pause has wiped out Syracuse and Louisville. Stop me if you heard that one before. So Syracuse's next scheduled game now becomes Notre Dame on Saturday. How will this affect Syracuse's NCAA tournament quest? Will this game be rescheduled? What did Jim Boeheim say about the latest postponement? And so much more. We are going to cover it over the next couple of hours here. A couple of guests, so we appreciate their flexibility, by the way, being available to come on short notice. In the case of one, though, he doesn't have anything else to do in of what he had planned to do in about 2 hours. So we appreciate both these gentlemen being able to come on because one is still calling a sporting event tonight. So right here in this hour, Matt Park, the voice of the Orange, will join us. Matt talked with Jim Boeheim this afternoon. He tweeted some of those things if you didn't see him, but we'll get more perspective from Matt about what Jim said about today's postponement, what they're going to do going forward here, the frustration of that. We'll certainly talk some hoops with Matt. I think Matt had a pretty unique idea on Twitter as well, just kind of throwing stuff against the wall about what an alternative ACC tournament would look like and a couple other things that I want to discuss with Matt. It's been a while since we've had Matt on the show anyway, so we've certainly got a little more time than usual to discuss some things with a no game tonight. So we're looking forward to that right here in this hour. In the next hour, 5:20, Lucas Favalli, the voice of your Syracuse Crunch. There is a sporting event being played that you can hear on these airwaves tonight. Lucas Favalli will call it. It's the Empire Recycling Galaxy Cup between the Syracuse Crunch and the Utica Comets. 6:45 pregame. And Lucas will join us from Utica to not only preview that matchup, but talk some Crunch hockey and kind of how they're dealing with everything COVID-related and playing through it, the empty arenas that they're calling games in. Certainly something I want to talk about with Matt as well, calling games in an empty Carrier Dome. Though fans on the way back to the Dome, we hope, right, soon here with the clearance from the state. But everybody's taking things cautiously as they should and want to do it right. When fans can come back, maybe for basketball. Clock's running out on that one, but certainly it seems for lacrosse, students and the general public will be there to watch two teams chase a national championship. So great to have both of those gentlemen on today. Looking forward to both of those conversations. Matt right here in this hour at 4:20, Lucas at 5:20. We'll go on the blind side. Hot takes to come. A lot of juicy NFL rumors out there. Syracuse alum Kimberly Martin tweeting right before going on NFL Live this afternoon, Bills fans.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
That there is mutual interest between J.J. Watt and the Buffalo Bills. Is there mutual interest in terms of the fans and J.J. Watt? We shall discuss during Hot Takes and the latest juicy Deshaun Watson rumor. But we do start, of course, with the disappointing news, albeit not surprising news, from Syracuse and Louisville being canceled because, well, we've heard that before. A team travels to city of game, gets a COVID test revealed, game does not get played. That happened 2 weeks ago when Louisville traveled here, learned of a positive test within its program, and had to fly home with no game in hand. Syracuse flew to Louisville yesterday. They were there. They were ready to play. And once again, we find out that Louisville had a positive test within its program. So a lot of frustration stir up there, certainly. It's what you have to deal with. Everybody kind of signed off on playing the season that this would happen. But the way that this is starting to come into the clear for Syracuse, with a couple weeks left here, maybe some things get made up as we'll get into, and some of these worries and frustrations could at least ease as best they can in the environment that we're in here. But look, I don't want to make this sound simpler than it is. We know this is a complicated thing, but man, what is going on at Louisville? And by the way, this is not just my opinion. So I was on with our friend Andy Sweeney on his show today in Louisville, and Andy and I were texting a little bit today, and Andy texted me probably about an hour before the news came out and said, we're hearing there could be another pause. And what Andy added to that was essentially how much of a mess things are at Louisville, right? Have been for the past couple of weeks and more players being added to it. Even earlier this week, we heard, yes, they were planning to play, but two scholarship players for Louisville would be down, plus a walk-on would be down. And that was earlier this week. So what happened between then and now? When will then be now? Soon. So another player, from what I understand, a backup guard on the team, test positive. So the protocols are in place that when that happens, particularly on a game day, instead of isolating that player, seeing if everybody else tests negative, everybody plays, they just shut it down. So we flew to Louisville and all we got was this lousy t-shirt. Didn't even get to play a game, right? So man, what has been going on at Louisville the past couple of weeks? Now look, it just goes to show you that you can have all the protocols in the world and social distancing and masks and testing. And it's a, you know, Louisville, they've got some money in that athletic department. You would think they'd have better protocols in place and better procedures in place, but trying to master this thing has been one giant cluster, as we know. Still brings up a lot of questions, though. I mean, you've had 2 weeks to figure this out, right? But you're counting on individuals to follow those protocols. You can have all the rules and protocols in the world. You're counting on the individuals to do what they have to do for those protocols to be followed. And even in the case of doing that, sometimes COVID can find its way into a life situation and you can test positive. There's protocols in place at Syracuse, and there was a party over the weekend, as we found out, hosted by student athletes where there was over 50 people there. And as DPS noted, Syracuse DPS, a lot of them, if not all of them, I believe, right, didn't have masks, and that's a whole thing. So we're just kind of at the point where there's encouraging signs, people are getting vaccines, maybe we're rounding the corner here, the numbers thankfully are back to a manageable level, and this is opening back up, and these zones are no longer this color, but it can still creep its way in and whammo, shut it down. So in the case of Syracuse, that's now two games with Louisville, two quad one games. Florida State and Clemson, four games that they didn't lose, that they didn't even get to play. And if you are the NCAA selection committee, what you are going to look at, what Jim Phillips has said, is basically we are going to judge this based on what we see, what has been played, what we know, not the what ifs. Which, as harsh as that sounds, is really all they can do. Now, Joe Lunardi is going to join us Friday on this show. And I was certainly going to ask Joe about this process anyway, win or lose tonight. But now that Syracuse didn't even get to play Louisville, and maybe we'll have some news by the time we talk to Joe about some rescheduling things. As Jim Boeheim told Matt Park, and as Jim Boeheim told Mike Waters as well, in a story that went up this afternoon on Syracuse.com, that they're trying to reschedule games. We don't know which games. Because remember, there was a postponement there against Wake Forest. It's like, no offense, Wake Forest, but you don't really help our NCAA tournament situation here. So we're going to try and get either Clemson, Florida State, Louisville back on the slate. Where in that last week, Louisville's already jammed up. So I don't think Louisville's going to get back on the schedule. Doesn't look likely that that's going to be the case. And you got to, it takes two to tango. There are those that even the county executive tweeted me this today. Get Colgate on the schedule. That was brought up in Mike Waters' article. Jim Boeheim pretty much shut that down, A, because they want to focus on conference opponents, but B, the Patriot League has a policy in place. Now, they can certainly bend their own rule if they'd like, but the Patriot League has said they are only playing conference opponents this year. Why would you want to play Colgate? Well, they got a nice juicy net ranking. That's why. That's a quad one game. They're right down the road. It would seem convenient to drive a short distance and play Syracuse, as is normally the case. I mean, it's in the budget, right? It's in the plan. They were going to play until, you know, different procedures put in place, different leagues and different rules, and that traditional Syracuse-Colgate matchup off the schedule. Syracuse didn't play Cornell this year either because the Patriot League didn't even play. So to throw in a non-conference game at this point of the season, look, everything should be on the table. All things should be considered, right? But that's what brings to mind for me some frustration here. And I hate to be kind of that I told you so guy, and maybe I make these things sound simpler than they are, but I don't necessarily think it's the equivalent of a moon landing to leave a week at the end of the season open to reschedule games. We all knew that this was going to be a season where games would be postponed. If you're going to try and play through this thing, the Goodfellas theory that I've been repeating, because I think it's the best analogy, bleep you, pay me. Oh, I'm sorry, did you have another COVID pause? Bleep you, play the game. Oh, I'm sorry, was there a major winter storm that's canceling sporting events throughout the country? Yeah, bleep you. We don't care. So you're going to decide an NCAA tournament, and you're going to have teams like Syracuse that are going to have five, six conference games postponed? Yeah, bleep you, play the tournament. We don't care. Okay. So if you're going to do that and you're going to proceed, you have to be able to build in some contingencies here, which is why the concept of doing a different type of conference tournament should be on the table. Why, yes, conferences have rules about staying within their own bubble or their own conference, but maybe bend that rule. Circumstances got to the point where, hey, Colgate. And by the way, if you're Colgate, you got to be loving that. Oh, we know why you're calling. John Wildhack's on line one. Why would that be? Jeez. For once, Colgate's got the leverage. Oh, you guys want to play us? I see. Okay, well, we can talk about that. Right? They got to be loving that. And so many Syracuse fans like, put Colgate on the schedule. By the way, what if you lose to Colgate? But a whole different topic for a different day. Not that I would think that would happen, but it's been a weird year. But it just circles back to some things that people saw coming. There's a lot we didn't see coming. There's a lot we had to accept playing a season in a pandemic that just wouldn't be normal, and this was one of them. It just so happens that Syracuse is emerging as, I don't know if worst case scenario is the right way to put it, that might be overstating it, but Syracuse is turning out of an example of something people thought of but couldn't address. Just kind of like, yep, we don't know. Sorry about that. Sorry that most of the games you lost turned out to be real resume builders, but sorry, bleep you, play the games. We don't care. Fair's not in the equation this year. Sorry about that. But again, maybe some games get made up. Here we sit, but there's not a lot of time to figure these things out. And again, even my theory of leave a week open at the end of the schedule to make up games, would that solve all your problems? Probably not, but I think it would solve more than it would at this point with the way they're doing it. So we'll get into this with Matt Park. He talked with Coach Boeheim this afternoon after everything went down and what Jim said about that. And I like Matt's idea that he floated on Twitter. He was just kind of spitballing, throwing some ideas out about what the ACC tournament could be. And I was like, I actually kind of like that. I think, you know, in a crazy year where we got to get these games played, if you want to have as legit of a tournament as you can, and it's always an issue of who's in and who's out no matter what, but this year with some extra added ingredients to that stew, I kind of like that idea. And a lot to catch up with Matt coming up. Lucas Favalli later in the show. We'll talk more about Syracuse and what would have been with Louisville, and now Notre Dame comes into focus on Saturday. That's unfortunately not a game that helps your tournament resume. There are two quad one games as it stands now. Duke and Georgia Tech left on the slate, so still some opportunities to strengthen the resume, but this was the big one. Because it just, would, even with Louisville coming off the pause and everything that they were dealing with, just would have kind of projected Syracuse forward. Instead of guesswork, a legit win on the table that they got. And by the way, Louisville is a team that seems to be kind of penciled in to the tournament. Based on their good record and some other things, they do not have a quad one win. So that's kind of interesting too, but a whole different topic for a different day, something we'll discuss with Joe Lunardi on Friday. Right now, we will discuss how things went on the market today with our friend Lee Baldwin, who's here for our Wednesday update. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, sir. How are you? Colgate reaching out to Syracuse.
See, I knew you would like this. Colgate sitting back with their feet up on the desk saying, oh, you guys need us for once, huh? Okay, well, let's talk.
They'll do whatever they can to help out the situation. So, well, stocks were mixed today, Brent, second day in a row, because everyone was just concentrating, talking about Bitcoin. But we do have a diamond other than Bitcoin is Chevron, with oil prices up over $60 a barrel, and Warren Buffett buying a huge chunk of stock. That was good for them. And our dog, I'm going to go with Wingstop, just the wing business between COVID and based in Dallas. That just was a bad day, and they were down 13%. So
do things typically jump when Warren Buffett buys in on it?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yep. Right? Yeah.
And so he's been buying Chevron and Verizon for a while, and that news came out yesterday or today. So, yes, it does.
Good to know. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it, sir.
You got it, Brent.
Get on the horn with Colgate. Change their mind. Right now they can't play. The Patriot League says no, but rules were meant to be broken, my friend. That's Lee Baldwin. You can find him at LeeBaldwin.com or stop on in, have a Zoom session, whatever you're comfortable with, to make sure you have all the diamonds and none of the dogs on your portfolio. Matt Park, voice of the Orange, joins us next. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Well, the hits just keep on coming here. Welcome back, bro. Glad to have you here on the Block, ESPN Radio. Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. It's 444. If you've been hurt in a car, it's time to call William Matar at 444. 4-4. So before we dig into hot takes here, as I pointed out on our Twitch chat, thank you, Agent Orange, for making me aware of this. Even more postponements here. So this just out from the ACC. We know Syracuse and Louisville, of course, is postponed. Now a whole slate of schedule changes here. Let me just read you from the ACC. The ACC announced today the Virginia Tech at Florida State and Clemson at Pittsburgh men's basketball game scheduled for this weekend have been postponed. The games were scheduled to be played Saturday in Tallahassee, Sunday in Pittsburgh. Florida State will now play at Pitt at 4 p.m. Saturday in a game, and they just kind of give the TV details here. Additionally, Tuesday's North Carolina at Boston College game has been postponed. The postponements follow positive tests, subsequent quarantining, and contact tracing within the Virginia Tech, Clemson, and Boston College men's basketball programs. The teams are adhering to the outlined protocols within the ACC Medical Advisory Group. And I know we're used to hearing this now, but there have been some games postponed because of travel, the weather situation down south. But no, those are all COVID-related. Just like another one postponed today, Syracuse. And by the way, most of Syracuse's postponements have been because of opponents. They had their own COVID pause, but most of them have been because of an opponent. Two of them on game day just happens to be the same opponent. Woo, baby. So that round-robin ACC tournament idea that Matt Park floated out there is starting to look more and more like a pretty good idea, right? Let's do some let's do some hot takes, shall we?
We've got a hot one for you.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And I'm not afraid to cry. So hot.
So hot it hurts.
Man, it's hot. How hot is it? It's so hot, I poured McDonald's coffee in my lap to cool off.
It's time for hot takes on the block.
I've been pretty fascinated lately about the Super Bowl's over, and there's never really an NFL offseason. And I've been saying for the past couple of weeks here, this is going to be an NFL offseason like no other. Now, the NFL has tried to kind of hold that championship belt as the best offseason league. The NBA has swooped in with these major free agency deals and things that have happened in recent years and kind of took the belt away. Maybe the NFL wasn't happy about that. So let's have Deshaun Watson be on the market, and let's have Carson Wentz be on the market, and all these quarterbacks, and let's throw J.J. Watt in the mix and just keep that conversation going. There's no combine. The draft will certainly have the usual build-up and mock drafts and hype, but without a combine, you don't have like the literal representation of a broadcast you can do from Indianapolis that just gives you a reason to talk more football here. But this is unprecedented in terms of the quarterbacks that could be on the move, the quarterbacks we know are already on the move. So two things floated out there today in the rumors du jour. Kimberly Martin, terrific NFL reporter for ESPN, Syracuse alum, by the way, tweeted right before she went on NFL Live this afternoon that there is mutual interest between the Buffalo Bills and J.J. Watt. Here's what she tweeted. Count the Bills is one of several teams looking to add J.J. Watt. I'm told the Bills have inquired about Watt, and the interest is definitely mutual. And they were going to discuss that more on NFL Live. Nice tease for your upcoming television appearance there. Of course it's mutual, right? J.J. Watt is going to go to a team where he can win a Super Bowl. So I think even though pretty much all 31 teams, not named the Houston Texans, have probably dipped their toes in the water, you start just checking off a bunch of teams. And it centers in, there was discussion that Cleveland is somewhere he's discussing. Pittsburgh, because his brothers are there. And that's a team that is at least in the conversation to be in the playoffs and could be a Super Bowl contender. I think you got to be careful with Watt. I think you got to be careful with the kind of contract he gets, how much money you would pay him. But if I'm the Buffalo Bills and I need all the pass rush I can get, and if it's a team-friendly deal, even if I have to give Houston some, however it works out, right? Beggars can't be choosers here. You cannot live in a world of, well, the injuries. And no, you add J.J. Watt to the team. You take the risk. You don't win Super Bowls. You don't take that next step without throwing caution to the wind sometimes and saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to figure this out. That's what Tampa Bay did. Tampa Bay, now Tom Brady, of course, tends to balance out a lot of this stuff. But they brought in Leonard Fournette. They brought in Antonio Brown. They brought in a number of players. Gronk, who had an injury risk, right, had been hurt a lot in recent years. You're going to get J.J. Watt, hopefully healthy, supremely motivated in a fresh situation. By the way, on a, with Leslie Frazier and that defense in a place where he will, you're telling me Bills fans would not embrace J.J. Watt and make him the next big thing in that city? So I could see why that mutual interest is there, but what's the how do they sweeten the honeypot more than other teams that are interested? There is mutual interest, as noted there, but there's other teams that want J.J. Watt. Who's the team that sells him the most, saying, you come here, you win Super Bowl? Like, that's the path here. Now, of course, staying in Rumorville in the National Football League.
That's hot.
Was put out there today by ESPN's Carolina Panthers reporter. And forgive me, I don't have his name right here in front of me. I thought I had it here. But the report was out that the going rate for Deshaun Watson, Carolina wants in. And they were going to offer 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey. That's at least been discussed as a potential offer to Houston. 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, I think if you're Carolina, you do that, as much as Christian McCaffrey has become a franchise player there, because the belief is still there that running backs are a dime a dozen. Are running backs like him a dime a dozen? Not necessarily, but that you can get another player that does what he can do. David Newton, the reporter. Thank you, Tommy. I wanted to give proper credit there. I liked what Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams said today on ESPN Radio about this whole thing. Let's listen.
But what, if they were to do this deal, wouldn't that be a massive cap hit for the Panthers? Wouldn't that force them to have issues to readdress or retool their line?
I don't know what their numbers in terms of McCaffrey. I don't know, you know, cap numbers. I don't know where he's at with that. Clearly, if this is something that they're talking about behind the scenes, it probably isn't that big of a deal. But here's what I would say. If we are saying that the New York Jets should give up 3 first-round picks and Sam Darnold, a franchise young quarterback that could potentially be a franchise quarterback like Sam Darnold, it has more value than Christian McCaffrey. 3 ones from them, 3 ones from the Jets, and a franchise quarterback potentially, opposed to a running back. So you would take that deal every day from the Jets, but if they're offering you in this Carolina deal, that may be something you could think about.
See, that's the intriguing thing there. If you're getting a quarterback in return who could potentially be turned around and made into a franchise quarterback, if I was Sam Darnold, by the way, I'm like, you're going to go from the Jets to Houston. There's a reason Deshaun Watson wanted out of there. It's because he was running for his life the whole time. So I wouldn't be happy if I was Sam Darnold. But who comes in with the biggest offer? This is potentially going to be, for those of you that remember this contract, the Herschel Walker deal of our generation. That's what makes this an extraordinary offseason and in extraordinary times as it is. But 3 first-round picks, Christian McCaffrey, like, if they said yes to that, I would do that tomorrow. And that's the thing. Like, pretty much every deal that's going to be put on the table, the answer is yeah, because that's how good Deshaun Watson is. He's 25 years old, franchise quarterback, and still has 10, at the very least you would think, you know, health-wise, always factored in, but 10 really productive Pro Bowl years ahead of him. Circumstances of why he wanted out, how we got here, we can haggle about that all day, as Draymond Green was saying in a different circumstance yesterday, but will that price continue to go up here? Because when the deal was made and the bar was set and put out there of names that are out there, franchises, trades being made, contracts, it feels like everything's on the table now, right? It just feels like, and what's the deal I'm thinking of, Tommy, that they just made recently where people said, they got in before the Watson trade was made, so they didn't have to, oh boy, it's right on the tip of my tongue. What's the big quarterback deal that was made recently? The Stafford-Goff deal, right? Like, that was a huge, put Watson aside. Those are 2 number one picks, franchise quarterbacks swapped for each other. And they looked, you looked at the circumstances of that deal and the first round picks that got exchanged, and you're like, wow, if that is what we're going to get here, what's the Watson deal going to be? Well, it's what we heard today. Like, draw the line there. Three first round picks and one of your franchise players, right? Unless you can find somebody else willing to do a different deal than that. But think about, like, the Stafford-Goff, and I've got to get to a break here, but that Stafford-Goff deal, like, that could exist as one of the biggest offseason trades, and that could carry you through an entire offseason. Like, it's not going to get bigger than that. But there could be two or three trades bigger than that. So the NFL is saying, you know what, NBA, you had the belt for a while, but we're taking it back. We'll come back after this. Stay right there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.